If you have your Bible, turn to Hosea chapter 4 this morning. Hosea chapter 4. I want to begin reading at verse 1. I want to read verse 1 and verse 2, and then we'll skip over to verse 6. Amen. And the Bible says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood." Verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." I want to preach this morning for just a few minutes. You've got to be my help. And I want to look at this morning as we finish out this year of 2013 and we prepare for 2014. As we look in just right down the road is a new day and a new age and a new year. And I would like to say, I'd like to gear us up, praise God, and get us ready to go into the new year with praises on our heart. We talked Wednesday night about joy that comes from the Lord. Amen. And when we begin to have joy in our heart, we can have rejoicing in our soul. I'm afraid we live in a world where there's not a whole lot of rejoicing. There's more sadness and sorrow than peace and happiness. But I want to say, praise God, that we's a Savior that came, and on Christmas, that first Christmas morn that we just celebrated, praise God, He came as a little babe. He grew up in this world and He died for sinful men and women like me and you. Died on a rugged cross, and on that third day, just like He said He would, He got up victorious over death and the grave. And I tell you today, if you're saved, if you've accepted that, praise God, that free pardon of sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, praise God, we are to be a rejoicing people. What is rejoicing? I told him Wednesday night, rejoicing is joy, praise God, in action. Amen. It's a verb, an action verb, praise God, that we rejoice because the joy that's in our soul. Amen. I'm excited today because I'm a child of the King. Hey, the world looks dismal. Things don't look good. But praise God, I know I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. And it's my Lord and Savior. It's the great big God of God. And He ain't, I told you, He's majesty on high. He's never changed, praise God. He knows exactly where we're at. He's not wringing His hands. He's not confused. But praise God, He knows exactly where you and I are today. Amen. And He knows exactly what you need this morning. Bless His holy name. Now, I'd like to preach for just a little while, if God will be my help, on our lack of knowledge. As we go into this new year, prepare to go in this new year, I just wonder, how much do we know about the Lord and Savior? Our Lord and Savior and a great God, our Father above. We don't know very much, amen? We're just like little children's baby Christ when it comes to knowledge of our Lord. We may have been sitting in church all of our days. You may have been here in this church since you was a little bitty feller, but that don't mean that you know everything you need to know about God, amen? I tell you, God is... If we could know everything there was to know about Him, then He wouldn't be big enough to be my God. But God seeks those that would know Him. God wants you to know Him. That's why He gave us 66 books, this blessed old King James Bible, so we could know the Lord Jesus Christ, so we could know the great God, the Father, praise God, that made provision for me and you. But we see here in Hosea, as he's writing to these folks, and he's talking to the day. Now, He could be talking to me and you today. Amen. Hey, it's not a bit different. God don't change yesterday or forever, praise God. He's always the same. Amen. So He could, just like He's talking to Israel, He could be talking to me and you. And He speaks to Israel, and first thing he says is, "Hear the word of the Lord." You know, a lot of times we come to church and we sit in services and we get up and we go home, and praise God, we ain't heard a thing. Amen. Amen. You know why? Because we don't come to get in, we come to get out. We come in with things on our mind, the world on our mind, amen? And we come in with, first thing we do, we sit down in the pew, we start thinking about what we're going to have for lunch. Where are we going to go for dinner, amen? Amen! Hey, what happens? Your stomach begins to overcome your brain. And you begin to think, and you know what that is? That ain't nothing but the old flesh and the devil, praise God. He don't want you to think on the things of God. He don't want you to know nothing about the God that loved you enough to send the very best He had in His Son to die for you on the cross of Calvary. He don't want you to know about that. He don't want you to get help. He don't want you to get in. But He said, hey, so we see here what was lacking in the children is the same thing's lacking today, a lack of hearing. Amen. A lack of hearing. What you say, well, preacher, I listen every Sunday. Amen. But what do we ever apply what we hear? Amen. We need to be doers of the Word and not just hearers. James said we need to be doers of the Word, going out and doing what God said. So Hosea's warning us here. And knowledge alone is not enough, by the way. No, just knowing God ain't enough. There's a lot of people with head knowledge. Amen. There's a lot of people that know who Jesus is. They know that He's a Savior born in a manger. They know that He died for the sins of the world. Amen. On the old cruel cross. That them old Roman soldiers nailed them old rusty spike nails into His hands and His feet. And they pierced His side. They know that in their head. But they don't believe it in their heart. They've never accepted Him as that price of sin, praise God, that was paid for them. So they sat and are still a do nothing, amen. And Hosea had to warn us here. He said, hey, look, he said, it's not just about the knowledge of alone that works. Knowledge alone won't bring that new birth. Knowledge alone won't bring that transformation that God wants to make in your life. Do you realize this morning God wants to transform you? Amen. God wants to transform you. He wants to, and see, it's what's necessary. Knowledge is necessary for the process of the transformation. Amen. Knowledge alone won't do it, but it's necessary. See, what are you saying, Pastor, this morning? I'm saying we need to try to attain to the knowledge of God. We need to come in with a heart desiring the knowledge of God, to know about Him. Hey, newsflash, He knows all about you. Amen. Bible says He knows about you to the dividing asunder of your soul and your spirit. Amen. That's that part that moves and breathes and has its being. Amen. The seat of your emotions and your affections. Praise the Lord. He said He knows exactly where you stand. And that amazes me because He's so big a God. See, a lot of times we won't take Him and put Him in a little box and say, well, this is my God. But I want to tell you, He's too big for a box. Amen. My God is so big, praise God, that He knows all about Brother Bill, and He knows all about Brother Rick, and He knows all about me and you. All at the same time. There's nothing that you ever do. There's nothing that you ever do that He don't see. You say, well, I thought I had that hid from the preacher. Yeah, the preacher may not see you, but God did. Amen. Mama may not see you, youngins, but God does. Amen. Praise the Lord. But He said, hey, the knowledge is not enough, alone is not enough to get you and get saved. Praise God. It's a process of where it's got to start. We've got to know God. Amen. It's kind of like driving a car. Amen. You can't just get in. Amen. If you just get in the car and take off in ignorance, don't know what you're doing, praise God, you can cause a lot of damage. Where's Stephanie at? Stephanie, stand up a minute. And Stephanie is learning to drive. Amen. Help us, Lord. No, I didn't say that out loud. Stephanie's learning to drive. But what did you do first? She took the bookwork. Amen. She went and sat down and took time to learn, praise God, the laws of the land. Amen. She took time, praise God, to study, amen, to know what that book said, how the law of the land said she had to do it. You can sit down, honey. Now, how that she had to study to know how to do it right, and she studied, she learned what that book says, and then she gets behind the wheel. Amen. Hey, listen, if she hadn't studied first, praise God, I wouldn't want to be on the road when she got out there. Amen. Because ignorance would be driving. Hey, I think a lot of times in our Christian life, ignorance is driving. We claim to be something that we don't care nothing about. Hello? Amen. Oh me. But if we truly love the Lord Jesus Christ and love Him and looking for His appearing, praise God, we'll be desiring to know more about Him. Amen. The church, those that's called out, those that's saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are the body of Christ. We're the church of God. We're the bride of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, praise God. When I got engaged, I wanted to know all I could about my little wife. Amen. I wanted to know about her. I didn't want to just hook up with somebody I didn't know. Amen. That's what's wrong in the world today, praise God. We can't date like it's supposed to be and get to know one another. We jump into things and do things we shouldn't do, praise God, right off the bat. And we get messed up. We get out of order, according to what God says. But praise God, when we got the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, we got a direction and we begin to want to know about Him. You know, that's how you know that you're really saved. That's why you know when the Lord's, because you want to attain to that knowledge. You want to know more about Him, amen. You want to have more of an intimate relationship with your Savior. And it gets better farther on. Praise the Lord. We begin to know Him, amen. So when we're driving that car, you can't go forward in ignorance, praise God, till you get some bookwork. And that's what the Lord tells us here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Amen. He said not to be conformed to the world. He said we're not supposed to fit in this world if you're a child of God. You say, "Well, preacher, you mean we're supposed to be outcast?" No, we're supposed to be peculiar people. We're supposed to be a little bit different. See, we won't talk like them. We won't walk like them. We won't live like them. Amen. We won't participate in the things, the ungodly deeds that ungodly men do. Amen. We'll be a peculiar people. How do you do this? A knowledge of God is essential, praise God, for that renewing of the mind. Without the knowledge of God, amen, without coming together with it, He said to fail not to assemble yourself together. Why? So we can attain to knowledge. So we can get to know more about Him, praise God, so we can be more like Him. Amen. That's what makes a difference. That's why you see, Brother Eddie, that's how God begins to change you. He takes you out of the world and begins to change you from the inside out. Hey, we could take Brother Eddie and we could polish him up and we could make him look real spiffy on the outside. But the inside could still be rotten. But when he comes to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, he begins to get into under the Word, praise God, and the knowledge, praise God, begins to touch his heart, then his mind begins to change. He don't think like he used to. Amen? Why? Because God gives you a tender heart of compassion. He's like me, though. He's still got temper. Amen? Amen. Mama, he's still got a little bit of temper. But God's working on that, too. Amen. And He will, praise God, because that's what He does. He helps us with those things. He helps us with our temper. He helps us with our emotions. He helps us with those things, those external things, those internal things that become external things. He helps us with those as we get more in the knowledge of Him. Amen. But the knowledge of God is essential. Essential for that renewing of the mind. And He said we need to have that renewing of our mind. That means to have our mind made fresh. That we'll think on different things. We'll want to go in different directions. Amen. And I want to look at this for just a minute this morning, if God will be our help, on five important points about the lack of knowledge in verse 6, in this passage of Scripture. Now notice number one, and I'll try to give these quickly. I don't want to wear you out. Number one, he says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He said, what? He said, my people are destroyed. Why? Because of lack of knowledge. So what is it, lack of knowledge? Lack of knowledge, number one, it's destructive. Amen? When we don't know all we need to know about God, praise God, it's destructive. It's destructive to our lives. You say, well, preacher, how could not knowing anything or a lack of anything destroy? It does. When we don't know, praise God, it destroys, it tears down. You say, well, how can nothing hurt anything? Well, nothing, not knowing about God, can hurt you in big ways. In ways that we can't even comprehend this morning. It's just like the sun. If the sun don't shine, the S-U-N, praise God, everything dies. You say, well, so see, if the sun didn't shine, if there was no sun, praise God, S-U-N, praise God, there would be no life. And it's the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. If it does, it without the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the world will die in its sin. Amen. All around us they'll die and they'll slip off into hell. Hell's an awful place. Jesus preached, He mentioned hell in the New Testament more times than He mentioned heaven. Because hell is a real place. It's a place where the wicked go. You say, well, who are the wicked? The drunkards and the whoremongers? And no. You want me to tell you who wicked are? Those that reject the saving knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. those that will not accept what Jesus done on the cross of Calvary. You may be a drunkard and an alcoholic and all those things, but praise God, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll save you from that. Amen. He'll redirect you, praise God. That inner, He'll change your mind. See, hey, since Jesus saved me, brother, I can drink all the liquor I want to. I can take all the drugs I want to. Because my want to's changed. Amen. I don't want to do that no more because I don't want to hurt the heart of my Savior.
Amen.
Amen. So He's directed me, praise God. Amen. He's got a hold of my heart and He's got a hold of my mind. And I've had a change, praise God, that took place. My mind has been renewed to line up with my new heart that He gave me. So He'll take that stony heart out and He'll give you a heart of compassion. He'll give you a heart of love so that you can love one another. That's what I love about this little church. Amen. We've got a heart of compassion. We've got a unity here. Praise God. It's out of this world. Praise the Lord. I thank God for that. So He says that not knowing, praise God, a lack of knowledge is destructive. Amen. Without knowledge, we have no standard for living. Do you realize that? Without the knowledge of God, we'd have no standard for living. We'd just live any way we want to. It's going to be like that during tribulation period. When the church is taken out and Holy Ghost taken out, praise God, and men are given to their own desires and their lusts, praise God. I don't even think about being here. Amen. I'm not going to be here, praise God. I'm going to go be my Savior. Amen. I'm going to be in heaven when that's taking place. But could you imagine? What are you saying? I'm saying it'd be everything would be destroyed. Destruction would be on every hand. Amen. If we didn't have a knowledge of the law. Just like Stephanie, if she didn't know what was right, she didn't know how she was supposed to drive and how fast and how... My wife still don't know this, by the way. If she didn't have a knowledge of the law, praise God, how would she know to obey the law? Amen? Without knowledge, we don't know what to do. And I think what's happening in our churches today, praise God, it's that we need help from the Lord and His blessing upon us, and we have knowledge of Him so that we can do right. Amen? So that we can do right. If we know the law, if we know the Word, if we know what God's telling us, then we know how to obey. Amen? It's important that we have knowledge. Amen? A soul without the knowledge of God is like a... Now, I think a whole lot in here, it'd be like a plant without water. Amen? A soul without the knowledge of God is like a plant without water. You know what happens? It won't be long till they start drying up. Amen? Unless you're... And we may have some cactuses in here. Amen. You got them little prickly things on the outside. Amen. Keeps people away from you. And you think you got it made on the inside. But sooner or later, pray, even a cactus will dry up. Ask my wife. She's the only person I know of killed a cactus. Bless her heart. But I think without the knowledge of God, we dry up. And I think that's why we struggle so much sometimes is because we just don't desire the Word of God. We don't desire the knowledge of Him so that He can help us, praise God, to get us through those hard places. Hey, we'll have hard places. We'll have tough times. We'll have tough days. We'll have trials and tribulations. James says it's not about if we will, but he says when you have these temptations, when you have trials, praise God. He said, hey, just trust the Lord because when you get through them, praise God, He'll be there with you and you'll be stronger. Amen. We have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus. Bless His holy name. Amen. So we see a lack of the knowledge is destructive. It's not only destructive, but a lack of knowledge is willful. Amen. Did you realize it's willful? If you don't know about the Lord this morning, it's your own fault. Amen. It's your own fault. He says, because thou hast rejected knowledge. This whole world's full of the knowledge of God now. Amen. Amen. Hey, those folks that got to get on the internet, it's all over it. Now, you got to be careful what you get because some of it got a bunch of error and a bunch of false stuff. Amen. You need to know the truth. But see, that's what happens if we don't have a knowledge of God. We don't know what truth is. That's why it's important to get in a good fundamental Bible-believing church, praise God, where you get truth that's given to you so you can grow spiritually in the Lord, in the knowledge and the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So He begins to help us. And He said to be in willful sin, to willfully disregard the knowledge of God, amen, He said that you'll stand without excuse. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let's go back up to verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. That's those things that's not right in the eyes of God. See, a lot of times we think what we're doing is okay, but if God says it's wrong, it's unrighteous. It's wrong. Amen? We want to be in the righteousness, that right standing with God. And He helps us to do that, by the way. The unrighteous of men who hold the truth. Now here it is, in unrighteousness. That's people that know what's right, but they continue to do things that's not right. That's unrighteousness. He said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Amen. Is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things, now listen to this, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are, what? Without excuse. See, you can't stand before God one day and say, well, Lord, I didn't know that You wanted me to be saved. I didn't know to say, because He said we're going to stand without excuse. Because when we look around out here and we see the magnificent world that He made and He created, we have to realize that there's a great big Creator. Amen. And we see the power in the Godhead, amen, in what's created. Why? Because He created me and you. Now I know some, there may be somebody here, you've been in school here lately, and I tell our youngins that when they start talking this evolution junk, that you just cast that stuff out, don't you listen to it. When they test you about it, you put down the answers that you have to put down, but you believe that there's a God creator, praise God, that created the heavens and the earth and created me and you. We never evolved from monkeys.
No, sir.
Amen. I didn't come from, you may come from a monkey. You may be a monkey's uncle, for I don't know. But I didn't come from a monkey. You say, well, preacher, we evolved. They did? Well, let me ask you a question. If we evolved, why did we quit? Huh? When did we quit evolving? How is it that our DNA, science has proved that my DNA is my DNA all my life? If I was evolving, my DNA would have to constantly change. Amen? Science has proved evolution is a lie. It was just a theory. Some man had a theory because he looked at a bird and its beak was deformed a little bit. He said, huh, that thing evolved. And we fell for it hook, line, and sinker. And you know, now let me just tell you what the whole thing was. You know what he was trying to prove when he done that? He was trying to prove, Brother X, that me and you, the Caucasians, this world, white men, was better than the black man. That's what and they'll stand up and they'll cry for evolution. Oh, evolution. We need to teach evolution. When they was trying to say that we ought to be racist and we ought to hate a man because of the color of his skin. Praise God, that's just out of the depths of the pits of hell. Amen. Praise God, we were created by Creator God. And He said we'll stand without excuse because He helps us to realize that. He said because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now listen to this, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Amen? Professing themselves to be wise. They're professional. I know, ain't it like the world today? The world today says, oh, I know all I need to know about that. Well, preacher, you're wrong. That Bible's wrong, because I know, yeah. Yeah, you know just enough to be dangerous. Amen. Said, always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's where the world is. But he said, hey, listen, said that's this willful, this lack of knowledge. It's willful. It's willful. We reject the knowledge of God. Not only destructive and willful, but you know, lack of knowledge is offensive. The lack of knowledge. He said, I will also reject thee. When we reject God and knowledge God, God's offended. It offends God, the Creator of this world. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, He said, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. So how do we please God? We take the Word of God and we begin to grow in our faith. See, without faith, we can't attain to the knowledge of God. We have to take in faith, believe, and amen, as we look at His blessed Word, that it is God speaking. The Bible said it's God breathed, it's inspired, it's God breathed. He breathes this precious book and men pen her down. Every prophecy that was in this Bible is being fulfilled. Do you know that? I mean, the prophecies that were prophesied over 6,000 years ago are still being fulfilled today. Amen? Everyone just exactly like... Now, men couldn't do that. There's no men that could put her down like that and know the future. Amen? Nobody could do it. I mean, but God did. And God does. Amen? He knows. And He began to pin her down so that we could see, praise God, that the knowledge of God is important. Very important. We need that knowledge. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Let's go back to verse 20. Colossians 1 and verse 20. He says, "And having made peace through what? The blood of His cross." Talking about Christ. Verse 19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." In other words, Christ is sufficient. All sufficient. "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Say, what Jesus, when He did, when He died on the cross of Calvary, He made things right between men and God. Amen. He fixed it up, praise God. He made a way. He made a bridge for me and you to be reconciled to the Father on high. Why? Because of the sin of our forefathers. Because they sinned and transgressed against God. He said, "In the body of His flesh..." Or said, "And you that were sometimes alienated enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you hot, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." He said, because of, hey, when the blood's applied to your life, He said, when God looks at you, He no longer sees your old sinfulness. Praise God. Your name's written in the Lamb's book of life, in the precious blood of Jesus, and He don't see your sinfulness. All He sees is the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Once we're saved, praise God, all you got to do is repent of your sins. Praise God. God wipes them away. Covers them with the blood. He says, verse 23, this is where I won't get to. He said, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel... That's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. That's why we'll all stand without excuse. You know, I preached on that. Well, I preached a message back in, I think, 2007 about, what about you, Mr. Jungle Man? You say, well, that man over in the African jungle, he don't know about God. There was a time, praise God, when the Ethiopian eunuch went down and he preached the gospel to all that would hear. Amen. But it's like Paul said in Romans 1, he said, they chose to forget God. You say, preacher, how could it do it? The same way we're doing it today. We're pushing God out and choosing to forget Him. He's not important. I'm just living my life. I'm having me a time. Yeah, what's going to happen when you get old and when you die and go out of here? You're going to spend eternity in hell lost without God. You say, well, preacher, God wouldn't do that. No, He does. You do it yourself when you reject the Lamb of God. He said, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Here's why. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. Yeah, you can't know God till you're saved. Amen. You can't have a right relationship to God when you're saved. You can't talk to God till you're saved. Amen. The only prayer God hears is, Lord, I'm an old sinner. Please forgive me. Amen. He said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That's me and you. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. He said, which is Christ in you. Listen to this, the hope of glory. Amen. That's hope. What is glory? That's hope of heaven. Amen. Which we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Look at chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit. This is what's happening here. Amen. When I read it, you'll just say, whoopee. That their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love and into all riches of the full assurance. Now listen to this, of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen? He said, God Almighty has all the secrets, all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. And when we seek the knowledge of God, amen, He pours out the wisdom and the knowledge, praise God, to help us to become children of God. Amen. Praise God. So what do you say? I'm saying we're a work in progress, praise God. We're a work that Jesus is doing, amen, for His glory this morning. And we need to be partakers of that. Amen. This morning we have to be partakers in it. Let me just say this, praise God. Hey, listen, we got to be, in order to be partakers, we got to be there and partake. Hey, you know where we mess up some? We don't participate in Sunday school. God gives us opportunities to know Him. But why don't we participate in Sunday school? You say, well, preacher, you know that Sunday school class is so boring. I just don't get nothing out of it. Well, let me ask you, what do you put into it? Amen. Hey, we have open forum here, praise God. When our Sunday school classes, praise God, if you want to put in, hey, it's welcome. Every one of these teachers, praise God, you say, well, it's just boring, I don't like it. Well, why don't you come in, praise God, and bring something, praise God, to make it not so boring. Amen. Because we should be attaining to the knowledge of God. We should be desiring the knowledge of God. He gives us an opportunity on Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning for preaching, Wednesday night, amen, Sunday night. He gives us opportunities to attain the knowledge of God. And if we're not here to do our part, praise God, then we're missing out. It's not God's fault. He's making it available, amen, but it's how much we want it, amen. That God can't work, He'll do His part, but we have to step up and receive what He has for us, amen. I know I'm preaching choir, but God, that's the way it is. God has this knowledge, but if we lay out a church and we're not here to receive what He's pouring out, He pours it out in a liberal fashion here. Amen. Hey, I'm the pastor, but I always get my cup. I get my cup full every Sunday. And most time I really get my cup full on Wednesday nights. Amen. You know why that is? Because people want to be here. I believe, Sunday morning, you say, well, I got to get up and go to church. You know, I don't do that. I say, praise God, I get to go to church. These people over in China right now would kill to have this opportunity. They're meeting in their basements and in attics, praise God, in secret to be able to worship the Lord and study their Bibles, if they've even got one. And we don't take it for granted because God has given us this wisdom. Amen. But it's offensive to Him that we don't take this wisdom. We don't want to know what God has to say. Not only a lack of knowledge is offensive to God, but a lack of knowledge leads to uselessness. He says here, he said that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. If Brother Bill don't desire any wisdom from God, God can't use him. Huh? If we don't take the wisdom of God, if we don't desire the wisdom of God, if we don't let God put the wisdom of God in, how can He use us? We don't know nothing about Him. But when we allow Him to use Him, we begin to feed on the Word of God, which is kind of like like two dogs. I've used this illustration. If you got one dog and you don't feed him good, and he may be mean as can be, but he's not going to be very strong. But if you take a dog and you feed him really good stuff, amen, he's going to be strong and he's going to be able to take care of business. Amen. If we take this Word of God and we feed upon it, amen, and you need to be at the house of God because a lot of times that's the only place you're going to get it. Now, I guarantee you two-thirds of them, I'm not being critical, but I guarantee you two-thirds of them, take your Bible home, throw it on the shelf, and don't pick it up till church time. If I ask you to raise your hand, I'm not going to do that, but I guarantee you two-thirds of you would have to raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. Some of you are grinning. You know you're guilty. Amen. So you got it. Hey, you make sure you get the house of God or you're going to starve to death. See, I believe that's why we're useless because we don't have the Word of God. We're not building our faith, a strong faith, praise God, to believe that God can. Amen. So it'll make us useless. Not only will it make us useless, but it'll lead us to sin that carries over. So I will also forget thy children. He said, not only will you be useless, but he said, you'll bring in sinfulness into your home. See, I've told you before, and I'll tell you again. I'll probably tell you 100,000 times as long as I'm pastor here. Our children are going to be 20% less faithful to God than what we are. Statistics proven. 20% less faithful than what we are. If you go to church on Sunday morning, they'll go to church on Sunday morning once or twice a month. If you go to church, once a month, they'll go to church once a year. They may be on holidays, special occasions. They'll be watching us. And if we're not going to church in the morning, if we're not getting fed more than that, if we're not seeking the God's knowledge more than that, we're going to starve to death. Our faith is going to be weak. And we're going to be pushed. The devil's going to push us into hard places, hard times. And we're not going to have enough faith to bring us through. Amen? It's going to cause sinfulness in our lives. It's going to cause us to do things and say things and act in ways that we should never act. But he says, as children of God, says, if we'll seek the knowledge of God. See, we lack wisdom. We lack knowledge. But he said, if we seek the knowledge of God, God will fill us. And he'll fill us to overflow. He said, he'll fill us. He said, it'll be pushed down, pressed down. He said, it'll be running over. Amen. The goodness of God, if we desire that today. But I wonder today, our lack of knowledge, would you like your knowledge to be better? We're getting ready. We're getting ready to go into 2014. But I wonder if 2014, your 2014... is going to be any better than your 2013. You want me to tell you how to make it better? I tell you how to make it better by coming to an old-fashioned altar and saying, Lord, I want more of You and less of me. Amen. I want to know You. I want You to give me a desire to know You. I want the knowledge of God to be a part of me so I can know You in an intimate way, so I can have that closeness and a relationship with the Holy God so that You can minister to me and through me. That some soul, some person might see Christ in me, that hope of glory.